That's perpy.
Self-inflicted.
I'll be walking in place next to a dumpster.
You say blame me because you're dumb.
Self-inflicted.
That's perpy.
Well, because I always win. What are you talking about?
Self-inflicted.
Burst into flame.
I will make you understand.
That's perpy.
And welcome to another edition of The Unique Geek. I am your host, John, and with me on the phone this week, we have Ron.
Hello, all.
And Sterling, the purveyor of the purveyor of, what the heck is it that you do again, Ron? Sterling.
Newbard's Press.
Newbard's
Hello.
Newbard's Press, that's right. And we're also pleased to have with us this week, George Lowe. George Lowe, as many of you may know, was voice of Space Ghost on Space Ghost Coast to Coast. As well as he's well known as a voice person extraordinaire. That's your official title, isn't it? Voice person extraordinaire?
Oh, you guys are too kind. What a lovely intro. Yes, yeah, voice person extraordinaire. I had to shorten it on the card, so it just says voice person X. There would have been more words, bigger fee, so now, of course, everyone thinks I'm a porn star.
Well, speaking of which, what would your porn star name be?
I believe mine would have been Dirk Taters.
Dirk Taters.
I'm going to go ahead and throw it over to Sterling for a few minutes. He's got a couple of Space Ghost questions he would like to ask you to begin with.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
It's just one basic question. I was wondering how much of Space Ghost is you and how much is the character? How much improv do they give you on the show?
Well, you know, Sterling, isn't there a little bit of Space Ghost in all of us?
Depends on your orientation, I suppose.
We have lovely writers who did lovely scripts, but there isn't an episode out there that I'm aware of where Daddy didn't blurt out something idiotic that somebody said, ooh, that's funny, let's use that too. So it was knowing I could go in and do the structured part, but then still have fun as I went that... you know, made it such fun for everybody. We used a lot of the outtakes. And as I say, we had terrific writers as well, so that it made it easy. I enjoy working one way, which is just, you know, completely stream of consciousness off the cuff. And our guys, you know, managed to have a structured idea and keep the story headed where they wanted it to head. But the side trips, I think, are what made it what it was.
Well, how long do you go ahead? I was just going to do a follow-up.
Two questions at the same time.
And then there was.
Wow.
How long do you...
now you guys just had the vocal equivalent of what the Large Hadron Collider is intended to do.
All right. Well, I was just going to wonder, how long did it take you before you felt really, really comfortable with the Space Ghost character? Space Ghost character?
Oh, right away. I mean,
right away?
Right away, because even in the audition, you could tell it was working. I would blurt out something like, I remember way early on the very first show that I can recall saying something incredibly stupid. I walked in and said something about, who's that pant load? And it was Russell Johnson from Gilligan's Island. So,
ouch.
You know, right away we could tell that the whole idea of the ad-libs was going to be, you know, an important part of it. But, you know, we couldn't have done the show any other way than, you know, the weird mix of structured and unstructured. I don't think it would have been the same show. We had such weird, funny writers, Matt Harrigan, you know, and Dave Willis, and early on Matt Malero did a bunch of stuff with us back in the day. And, of course, now they're rich and famous and never speak to anybody. They wear top hats and have canes at work.
Do they live on Boardwalk?
Although once a year, which is really nice, they drive around town and they throw silver dollars to people.
Oh, that's nice of them.
Let me ask you this. How did you actually get the gig? I mean, what got you to audition?
I had been down the hall doing promo stuff for TBS and TNT. Animal House, again. The Blues Brothers, again. Beastmaster, again. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, again. And they got tired of me doing that one day. True Lies, again. It began to not get funny because I started doing promos exactly like that. I'd walk in and go, stir crazy, again. And I think that annoyed them, and they're like, hey, we got some friends down the hall. Why don't you go audition for them? And luckily, they bought into my special blend of insanity and, you know, dulcet tone combo. So, thankfully, I'm snorting, aren't I? I'm snorting today. I've had sinus spray. Do I sound nasally? Am I okay?
You sound excellent, George.
I wouldn't want one of those little animated talking boogers to come flying out in the middle of our interview like in that commercial on TV. Every time I see that little thing, I'm very thankful every time that's on that they're not not the same company preparing to do a hemorrhoid commercial.
Let me ask you.
Freddie the Fisher. Well, I can't stop bleeding.
I should have.
Now there's Bojadrine.
I should have mentioned this at the very beginning. But you also were Brack's dad on the Brack Show, which was Space Ghost Coast to Coast. I hate to admit it, and probably shouldn't to the person I'm interviewing, but I actually didn't watch it originally.
What are you, stupid or something?
Exactly.
No, you know, it's okay. You know, you grew up, you're a daddy man. Some people are, you know, the Tad Ghostal man. Some people are daddy men. And, you know, you're a daddy man. So that's okay for you.
You've also done, Jesus. Sorry, man.
And then there was silence. But that's okay.
You've done a lot of work with the Adult Swim folks. Is it still a continuing relationship there, or do they just kind of...
I did a Robot Chicken with Seth Green last year. That was fun. I got to play an ejaculating unicorn.
I remember that episode.
This year, apparently, I was on as myself, and the drawings just get more complimentary every time, don't they? They gave me a nice pot belly and had my big bald head, and they used all my outtakes, which was fun. And that was Aqua Teen. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I just did the movie trailer for the Aqua Teen movie, so that's very exciting. Yeah, we cleared at least 11 cents on that job.
Cool. So Pablo didn't get that. What's the guy's name that does all the movie trailers normally?
LaFontaine.
LaFontaine. So he didn't
get that. It's either he or Ashton Smith. They're both trillionaires.
Yeah. So they didn't get that. Let me ask you, do you guys ever have like a voiceover showdown or anything like that?
Who? Me and one of the big guys?
Yes.
Yeah, all the time. We meet in the street and we yell copy at each other. Usually it's high noon. I'm going to do that tag. Oh, Geico. No, get Heinz ketchup. That's the one I did, but it only aired in Walmart.
So what other...
In a world.
What other...
Everything he says is in a world. That man could walk in one of those legal brothels out in Nevada, and the first thing he'd say would be, in a world where an older, bald-headed announcer is not getting any, I must come in here and pay for it. Finally, Crisco time is on.
Let me ask you if I can stop laughing.
Oh, that's fine. You flatter me with your bursts of laughter.
What other areas can people hear you at? I mean, I know that they can hear
has
you on
anyone
the train,
mildly,
right?
In the middle of all the laughing and everything, has anyone just slightly peed themselves yet?
No.
Sometimes I have people who complain during interviews they have leakage issues with me.
You should do commercials for Depends.
Yeah, there you go. See, thank you for that, because I'm old now, right?
Not at all.
He wasn't going to say it, but I was going to say it.
I derailed you. What's your original question?
I was actually asking you, what other gigs do you do? I mean, besides just Adult Swim stuff.
We do radio and TV imaging all over this great land of ours. And in fact, if you would like to hire me for your station, Daddy's available. Daddy is on The Loop. We do The Loop in Chicago. We've got The Bone in San Francisco. We're on CBS, one of the big rock stations in Boston. We do TV work in Dallas. I'm on doing country in Atlanta for my friends at Clear Channel. It's a nice little mix of things, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I'm in Cape Cod, even. If you drive through Cape Cod, where all the trillionaires are, God bless them, Cape Cod even has me on.
And they, of course, share lots of money with you, right?
It has its moments. But it's funny, too, because, you know, in the middle of being in the big markets, every now and then you'll get a call like, well, you work in Elk Squirt, Idaho for $6 a week? And I'm like, sure, why not? What the heck? But you can find my voice demo on the William Morris website in New York, William Morris Agency. Just click under Radio Voice Demos, and you'll find George Lowe.
How did you get involved in voice work? I mean, what would have been your alternative career path had it not have been
gynecology? I always thought of myself, barumpump, is it? What have you written today?
Well, is it because of the acoustics in gynecology, or is it?
No, it's because I fell off a horse at an early age, and I've always had a thing about stirrups.
So how did you get involved, though, in voice work?
Basically got shoved in a radio station by a bunch of my crazy high school buddies when I was 13. They were actually nice enough to, you know, they were going to toss me out on my ass until they realized, hey, wait a minute, his voice has come in. And they read me at 13, and then I thought, well, hey, this is great, man. And at 15, I actually had the chutzpah to walk into my first station and actually get the job. So I've been on since I was 15 years of age. It's just, I didn't know, you know, it's like these guys who, you know, I guess sell produce their whole lives or something. I wouldn't know how to survive any other way. It's all I've ever done.
Now, do you do most of your recording in, do you have like a studio in your house, or do you have to?
I do. I have a studio in Atlanta, and I have a studio in Florida. And so, you know, if I'm up in the Big Peach, then, you know, I can hang out, do my thing there and have some good soul food, go visit my buddies at Daddy D's and Harold's Barbecue and Pig and Chick and Matthew's Cafeteria. Good. And I'm not getting any kind of endorsement money either, so that'd be nice if somebody gave me some free food next time I'm up there. How many people in your audience?
Right now, 3.
Now featuring 11 listeners. 3 guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Oh,
it's the Ron Sterling and John Show.
Hey, I like that title.
Ron, who does nothing. Sterling, who giggles. And John, who asks the questions. Yes, it's a triumvirate of excellence as never before experienced on computer. Yeah,
so computer. The other part of things that you do, and actually how...
It's like radio without a studio or an audience or rating or any kind of a salary. In fact, Space Ghost now has the reality he's missing to live and die in L.A. for this. William Peterson, he was gray even then. Can you believe it?
Let me ask you something.
There you go.
I think that's
usually the transition should just be asking too, instead of just, you know, asking to ask. You know, the transition, you could just ask. Let me ask you something, Professor Teller. See, the explosion could have occurred in the time that it...
Has anybody ever mistaken you for you?
See, now you've done it, but you didn't ask that time. Now I'd rather you didn't ask the question. Frankly, that just makes me uncomfortable that you would nervously segue right into the question without having asked. I'm sorry, does anybody what?
Has anybody ever recognized you for you or mistaken you for you?
Oh, all the time. Diana Vreeland and I, just the other day at the Algonquin Round Table, we laughed until we thought we'd pee.
Has anybody ever mistaken you for somebody else?
All the time. Yeah, oddly enough, Mom's Mabley.
Who? Mom's Mabley. Okay.
I love obscure humor, don't you?
I gotta Google.
So have you seen?
She was very big, actually. I wish I had half the career that Mom's Mabley had.
Well, let me ask you: Do you actually consider yourself a geek, or are you more of a normal person?
You know, it's hard to say. It's, you know, I'm probably don't even fit in with geeks. You know, I'm in some sort of a substrata where, you know, normal people don't want to be around me. I think geeks, you know, geeks are scared of me. They're like, no, you know, he's interesting, he's funny, he's one of us, but we better not have him over to the house because he might set something on fire. We had him over and he poured a Coke in our Tetris thing.
When was the last time you actually set someone on fire?
Oh, never someone.
Oh, just something.
Right.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I misunderstood you.
No, usually mattresses.
Do you ever tear the tags off the mattresses? Or?
No, I eat them.
Do you Tebow?
No. No, generally speaking, no.
Do you iPod?
Because commercials are your friends. Remember, friends, commercials are your friends.
That's
by the way, this portion of our podcast is brought to you by Tongue Brothers Ball Game Wieners. They plump when you touch them. And by Pirate's Lube. Get your vessel through the channel quicker with new improved Pirate's Lube, now in pillaging size.
Well, let me ask you this, because I love asking you to ask you things before I ask you.
I think so, and you're doing a fine job of it.
I do that often. Let's hypothetically say that you were caught in, like, drunk in Ybor City.
Well, see, I don't drink, so that's a hell of a hypothetical.
Well, okay, let's say that I was caught drunk in Ybor City with a weasel in one hand and a fat ferret in the other. How would I survive in prison?
You would probably be voted the mayor of prison. You would be able to keep the animals inside your cavity and let them run amok inside the cell at night after bed check. And then in the daytime, you would have to place them back in the cavity and conduct your business throughout the afternoon with a couple of feral animals running through your small intestine.
Ew.
A virtual stinky habit trail, if you will. And boys, on that note...
Well, anyway...
On that note, Daddy's going to adjourn himself to the headache medicine cabinet.
It was a pleasure. Let me ask you before you leave, though. Where can people find out where your next appearances are going to be, like at cons or anything like that? Do you have a...
Well, I'm doing MegaCon... And I don't know after that. Probably Dragon Con, but I don't have anything listed yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a website. That would be good. Somebody should inform people. That should be me, but I don't do that.
Should so you don't have agent. Any sort of a website or anything like that people can go to?
No, I don't have that.
So you do know that there is a thing called the internet, right?
Yeah, I've heard of this thing. Okay. This is how I send out my voice work. But no, I haven't had time to go and do one of those little stupid things where, you know, you click like and I'm dancing around and doing the rumba and it's like, find out about my resume. Click this button. You know, because Wikipedia has already done a fine job, although they've got my birth date wrong.
Well, they also say you did the voice of Marta. Is that true?
No, I was never the voice of the automated train. However, I did, for a period of several years, do all of their radio and TV commercials. That was many years ago, but I was never the voice of the train. I mean, how unflattering is that?
Because, you know, they've got some really nice acoustics in those trains. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not to mention, like, a lot of the sci-fi conventions, every now and then you're the, how should I say, the proud recipient of the passenger mystery fart.
Nice.
Yeah, somebody bakes one right next to you, and you never know who it was, whether it's the sweet little old lady smiling at you or, you know, the big 800-pound man that smells like cup of soup.
All right. With that, I would like to thank you once again, Mr. Lowe, for joining
you
us.
You boys are just sweet. Your daddy's little cupcakes is what you are. A trio of ding-dongs.
Yay.
Ron's more of a Twinkie. So thank you once again, and I appreciate it. And look for, I don't know, do you get a cut of the DVDs?
No, absolutely not.
So don't even bother.
I guess another thing you could look for me at, I'm doing the Southeastern Theater Conference. I'm the keynote speaker for that. So if you go to Southeastern Theater Conference, you'll find something about me. But I'm darned if I know what I'm doing there.
Sweet.
It's me and Alfred Urey who did Driving Miss Daisy. So I'm going to ask him what it's like to have had a real career, and he's going to tell me how to get one, hopefully.
That's awesome. I actually used to go to the Southeastern Conference Theater Conference back when I was in high school.
See? There you go. So so I will be at that thing. That's something, isn't it?
It's something.
See, I act like I don't have anything going on, but I'm just busy as a little bee.
Okay.
All right,
Mr. Lowe. Again, I appreciate your
thanks, guys.
And,
not at all. Glad to do it.
And look forward to seeing you again.
Well, thanks, George, for coming on the podcast today. And I guess we will be able to see you at MegaCon, which is going to be February 16th through the 18th in Orlando, Florida. The website for that is www.megaconvention.com. And they could also see you at the Southeastern Theater Conference, which is in Atlanta, Georgia, March 7th through the 11th. And the website for them is www.setc.org. And thanks again, George.
All right. And you can, as always, join us at theuniquegeek.com or check out the Unique Geek voicemail. It's not a voicemail list. It's an email list, isn't it? At Google Groups, which is go to Google Groups and do a search for The Unique Geek. Sterling, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
He is, again, from the New Bards Press. That's newbardspress.com.
Yes, thank you very much.
How are things going on over there?
Things are going pretty good. I'm getting back into the program and getting back into programming and stuff for the site. I've been working on the logo today, so hopefully we'll get a logo out soon.
All right.
Not a high priority, but, you know, it's one of those little things that really matter.
All right, and you can also check Sterling out on 5 Minutes with the Bard, 5 Minutes or Less with the Bard.
5 Minutes or Less, which the or less part is kind of give or take 5 or 10 minutes maybe. So it started out really good at 5 Minutes or Less, and then it just slowly, because people keep submitting some really good stuff, and I want to show what they, and I want to read what they've been doing. So it kind of goes a little long, but hopefully it's all worth it.
All right. Thank you once again. And this is me, John. You can check out my personal blog at freshmonkeys.vox.com. That's freshmonkeys.vox.com. And as Ron points out, it's the possessive monkeys, not the plural monkeys.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. Visit us at theuniquegeek.com. You can reach the geeks by calling 813-579-3542. Send your comments, complaints, and story ideas via email to thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Join our list by going to groups.google.com/group/theuniquegeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, share alike license. Peace out.
Get another autograph show going so Daddy can come pay some bills.
We would
tell to get that going. I know he's still paying for the last one.
Yes, he is.
He had to do community service.
Something like that.
But I really appreciate the Korean girls he sent up to the room. That really made the experience the best for me.
That's also what broke us.
Ah! Daddy's Happy Endings Buffet. I had a tray of cold cuts and prostitutes.
Wow.
All right.
Well, all right, lads. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Stay in touch.
You.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.